Not many opportunities like this that you get in a lifetime. This is a very young season right now. A lot at stake on this football game. But for what you pay the price for, there are great rewards.
Are you ready?
Live from the studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, this is The Blitz with Rick Butler, Chance Collins, and Brandon Orrick.
And welcome into the Blitz today, live on Fan Run Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville. Hope you're doing well out there. It is Wednesday, October 16th, a little bit of a rainy morning. Helps with the cold weather environment, but it is what it is. We needed some rain, and we got some last night, it looks like. Beautiful morning out there. My name is Rick Butler, joined to my left by Brandon Orrick, to my right by Chance Collins. And we got Weston Brown behind the producer's desk. How are you guys doing today?
Doing good, Rick.
What is going on? Anything new?
No.
No?
Not for me, anyways.
Same old, same old. How are you guys doing?
I can't speak for everyone else.
Feeling good, feeling great, Rick. As always, a little bit of a rain last night, this morning. I like it.
There you go.
Needed it. We need the rain. I like the cooler temperatures. I love the fall temperatures. I love the rain. I like it when it's cold outside. Not really a big fan of the heat, especially the humid heat in Tennessee. I like dry heat out west, other things like that. But
I don't.
It's fun. I love the fall. Do you love the fall then?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So we're in agreement with that.
I just don't like the heat, period.
Yeah. I'm done with the heat. I hope it never comes back.
Guys, I'll be honest. I am
Rick's a wimp.
You don't like the cold, I can tell. You bundle up a lot. I mean, I feel like I layer myself, but I feel like you really layer. I've seen you before.
Yeah, no, the cold is not my thing at all.
Texas kid.
I have always hated it.
Does it get cold in Texas?
Not really.
You know, it doesn't really get that cold.
Like down to the 50s at most?
No, I'd say it gets in the 30s every year. But for us, it's like it just comes with like a cold wind. Yeah. Or like it's just always rainy. But always above 32 degrees. So at that point, it's just like a two month span of 35 degree rain.
When was the last time you saw snow in Texas? Can you remember seeing snow in Texas?
Oh man, I think there were like
a couple instances when you were a kid.
There were a few really distinct moments that I remember. I would say it would be a surprise if we didn't at least get a tiny bit each year.
Really?
Now, it was never good snow.
Texans looking for a white Christmas. Never would have thought.
Only one time in my life did we ever get a true white Christmas. But also, at the same time, like it was really crappy kind of snow to where it wouldn't stick together.
It's that mushy, slushy snow.
Yeah, so it didn't really do anything. But other than the cold, though, I'll be honest with you. I'm not feeling good, not feeling great.
Not feeling good. Not
remember,
feeling good.
I told you guys a couple weeks ago how I had to get that
surgery.
That surgery later that day.
Mm. So what happened? Are you dying?
Well, I'll be honest. Like I
sorry, like to be so morbid.
Oh no,
are
no,
you
no,
dying?
No, I'm not. Don't worry.
Filet fish, you cannot take a spot.
I am. I'm not on the way under yet.
You cannot take a spot, filet fish.
I know there are people wishing for that.
Only filet fish.
It's okay. It's okay. We've all been there. But I went into that like a month ago. Pretty much knowing that I actually don't have to get this surgery today, so I was never really that worried about it. Now, I'm like legitimately 3 hours out from this thing, and I'm kind of freaking out. It is it's throwing me off my game.
You're going under the knife.
They gotta take a big needle right into my mouth.
Ah, you're just getting like local anesthesia is what they call it, I believe.
And you're scared?
I'm going to be honest, man. I'm terrified.
Oh,
of
that's
this.
Not that bad.
I'm
come on, man
that's,
up.
I'm terrified.
That's just a little shot. It hurts a little bit when they first pierce your gums. But, like, you know, it hurts a little bit. It's like a hard pinch. And then your mouth's
but
numb.
You know what,
and you're drooling the rest of the day.
Luckily, they said they put on, like, this numbing jelly first.
They do.
And then they go in with the needle.
They do.
So that part, like, I'm really not that scared about.
Some people call that Novocaine.
It's complete. That's exactly what it is. The it's completely just like a psychological thing for me. Like, this is a 100% psychological fear. I will see the doctor today at like 1:30 with a needle in his hand headed for my mouth, and I'm going to freak out. It's just going to happen.
It'd be like that sometimes.
Hopefully you don't get an infection and get like endocarditis. And
I'm sorry, what?
Spell endocarditis.
E. N D O
okay
C A
who cares?
No, I want him to keep going.
R D I T I S.
Wow. Look at the big brain on Weston.
Look at filet of fish.
Big knowledgeable brain.
All I did was sound it out. It's not that impressive.
Well,
No offense, Weston.
I couldn't spell it off the. I didn't. Good job, Weston.
Get over your fear, Rick.
You can't just that's the most unrational way to go about it. You can't just yell at somebody to get over a fear.
You're 24 years old. It's a little needle. He's not going to hurt you. You think he's going to stab you to death? No.
I don't believe people can just get over their fears as easily as Brandon.
Look, Brandon, I've had some. I've had some really traumatic moments. You're really discrediting them.
Oh, I'm all sure right. Everything seems so terrible. I'm sure there are so many traumatic experiences that
this
you've had, Rick.
Pointed.
There have been many traumatic experiences.
Sorry.
One time, I went into seizures while I was getting my blood drawn.
You
going to
make fun about? You going to make fun
of
seizures today?
How about that? Is that the hill you're going to die on today?
Is that what you want to do, Brandon?
This is like the dog conversation. Chance, were you here for the dog? Yes, you were.
Yeah.
You certainly were.
Oh, yeah.
This is like that. Is this the avenue you want to start our day on?
Seems like it. Seems like
wow.
No, I don't really want to start the day talking about
let's make fun of people with epilepsy.
Let's not.
That's what you wanted to do.
No. Rick does not have epilepsy. Oh, my. What kind of start to the show is this?
I guess
Brandon
it's my fault.
Start.
No.
Is it Rick's fault?
No,
I brought us to this direction. Anyways.
You pointed to seizures.
Well, you were discrediting my fear. I had to explain to you why it's legitimate.
Fine, you have a legitimate fear.
Thank
you
very much.
You're very much discrediting his fear. Everybody has fears. What's one of your fears, Brandon?
I don't know.
You like snakes?
I mean, I'm not
Mr. Tough Guy over here.
Mr. Tough Guy. You like snakes?
Roaches.
Roaches?
Literally.
Yeah. Oh, you scared of little baby roaches.
I hate roaches.
Over like spiders?
Yeah.
What a
I've never really been
being.
Scared of spiders. What I don't like is running into spider webs. Not scared of the spiders, though.
That's another psychological fear.
Yeah, like
you
I don't
know where it is.
Yeah, you don't know where the spider is. I don't like running like if you're walking like in the woods, just walking around your house, and you run into a spider web outside or something outside of your house. I don't like that. I can kill the spider. I can throw the spider. I enjoy killing the spider.
Throw the spider. Just pinch it and pick it up and...
Yeah, man. I do that
just
to bugs all the time.
Flicking across the room.
I do that to bugs all the time.
You're a madman.
Call me a bug thumper.
So let's see what's up on the menu today. What do we got to talk about? Well, we'll stick with Tennessee. We'll continue
Bama
talking
week.
About the about the Mississippi State game leading into Bama week. I mean, I don't really know what there is to preview about this game, but we certainly will.
About the whole state of Alabama.
Yeah, we could just play that song on repeat.
I mean, as far as preview, I mean, I don't know. We're not going to break down the matchups.
No, we're most certainly not. But I think what we can do is maybe at least check in with the SEC East, see where all the standings are, kind of, I guess, maybe check directions that Tennessee's season can still go. I mean, I don't want to be that guy. It's still mathematically possible for Tennessee to win the SEC East. I'm just saying, mathematically, we're not eliminated. It could happen. I'm just saying. Maybe somebody needed that boost this morning.
No, no one needed that boost. No one needed that.
Gonna win the SEC East, people.
I mean, I'm just
Georgia.
No.
Georgia went down to South Carolina. They could lose another. We can win out.
Did you know that Tennessee is not mathematically eliminated from the SEC championship?
Actually.
What was that?
Well, actually.
You have to go on.
No, we are eliminated.
You can't just say, well, actually. Yeah. You got to go on with it. It was pretty good, but you just stopped.
Yeah.
No, actually, we are eliminated. We have no chance to win the SEC. Don't lead the people on.
I don't want to be that guy.
Men lie, women lie, numbers don't lie.
Brandon, as journalists of what we do.
First of all, I never claimed to be a journalist.
Well, so. I do. So I don't know what your degree is for. Mine's going to be because I'm a real established journalist making difference out there in the world.
Yeah, he is.
Okay.
I'm reporting the truth, Brandon.
Truths.
And the truth is that we're not mathematically eliminated.
And the truth is you can't handle the truth,
and the
Brandon.
Truth hurts.
Rick Big J Journalism Butler over here.
Don't forget the J. Please say the J.
I mean, I don't know.
Okay, yes, you're right. You're right. Obviously, I'm just poking some fun at it because it is true. As funny as hilarious as this season has
that
gone
loss
so far.
By Georgia really opened up.
It legitimately is true. But no, I guess we'll take a look at the
Florida's
at the schedule.
Still got a tough matchup ahead, Brandon.
Mr. Positive last week. He doesn't want to be positive anymore.
He goes back and forth.
Wishy-washy.
That's what Tennessee sports do to you.
Just because I had a good feeling that we were going to beat Mississippi State does not mean that I have a good feeling about beating Alabama or winning the SEC championship. I at least have a functioning brain in my head, Rick Butler.
Anybody on this show thinks that we have a chance to beat Alabama, say I.
No one.
Exactly.
There's no one in this fan base that does.
We're all on the same page.
I don't understand what you're arguing about. I don't know what you're trying to argue with me here.
About the whole East thing? Oh, I was just making fun of that part. That is kind of funny. It is kind of funny that technically, they're still in the race.
It ain't over.
But look, we got that. We'll look at the season. Obviously, we're not winning the East, but there are a number of different routes that Tennessee's season could go, and we'll look at what is the most likely of those. We have one half of the World Series set. The Washington Nationals will be representing the National League in the World Series.
Great.
An utter just domination of a playoff series. Four games up, four games down.
Sick. Sickens me.
I think they got a good chance of winning, too.
Well, yeah. I mean, look at the
pitchers.
They got
a great chance.
Look at their pitchers.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, they have a chance.
There's always something to be said about the hottest team in the last couple of weeks of the postseason. You know?
I really hope they don't win.
They might not be the most. On paper, I don't think either St. Louis or Washington was nearly as talented as both New York and Houston, and for that matter, even L.A. and Atlanta. But, you know, here they are. When you can ride hot pitching in the playoffs, it gets you pretty far. So we got those. We got a video from Jeremy Pruitt. Did you guys see this? Chance and Weston, Pruitt at halftime.
What did he do at halftime? I did not see
this.
Well,
so I guess the SEC Network just played him talking to the team at halftime.
They had this past week's game on the SEC Inside game. You ever seen the?
Yeah, oh yeah, I watched that last night actually.
Yeah. They had the clip of his halftime speech.
I didn't see. I think I turned it off. I saw the pregame speech. I saw when they were talking about the refs, which was I didn't have any interest in that. But, yeah, I saw most of that, and then I kind of turned it off before the game started. That was pretty cool, though. Halftime speech was good.
The halftime speech was good. We may play it a little later just for –
get you guys fired up?
Just for fun. Look, I think he does a pretty good job of getting you fired up. I don't know. I think he's got a he's got a good ring to his voice.
He says "aight" a lot. We knew that anyways, but I thought maybe something like a nervous like tendency that he did in front of the media.
Sure, like a crutch.
But he does that to his players. When he was doing the pregame speech, I counted at least like 15, 20 "aights."
Yeah, it's literally the same thing for the halftime speech. It's kind of funny, but it's really good. So we got plenty of stuff to talk about. Also, a huge NFL trade goes down late last night. There is plenty to discuss on the show today. So if you would like to give us a call, go ahead at 865-546-8200. That's the number to get in. Phone lines are wide open with a huge range of topics for you to call in and talk about. So go ahead and do that. Otherwise, we'll catch the first break of the show. Come back on the other side, get into a little bit of Tennessee football. All this and much, much more on the Blitz Fan Run Radio. 10:21 a.m. here, back on the Blitz. Rick, Brandon, Chance, and Weston. Let's see, getting through hour number one. So, here's something that I just actually kind of noticed a second ago is that, you know, Tennessee's standing at 2-4, but we are right at the halfway point of the season. I didn't even realize it that, hey, you're 6 out of 6 games through. So basically just flip the time so far that we've been going, and that's about how much longer we have left. Does it seem like it's halfway through the season already?
No.
What has this season kind of felt like to you personally? Has it been long? Has it gone by relatively quickly?
I mean, it does kind of seem like forever since that Georgia State game, but I don't know. To me, the fall and football season always seems to go by pretty quick.
Yeah.
Seems to fly by. Like June through August takes forever, and then the 3 months of football season just zooms right by.
Yeah, I'm with you. You know, it's so weird to look back and be like, oh my God, like we've been doing this for 6 weeks now, you know, talking about Tennessee football games and looking to new football games. But, you know, it seems like we've flown through this, but then it also seems like we've been doing this for a long time now because this has not really been the most, I guess, stress-free season so far. So looking at where things shape up, as in first half versus second half of the schedule. Obviously, first half you played two ranked teams. You played number 9 Florida and number 3 Georgia. You won one SEC game, and then you went 2-for-3 out of your other 3 non-conference games. So when you look at the back half of the schedule, it is 5 out of 6 SEC. You play 2 ranked teams as of now. You play, obviously, Bama this week. But then you don't play another ranked team until Missouri. And that is your second to last game of the season, November 23rd. 3 of the remaining 6 are on the road, Bama, Kentucky, and Missouri. And then obviously one right smack dab there in the middle is homecoming versus UAB. So what are kind of the thoughts there, or I guess just kind of where you think these last 6 games could be headed? I mean, I guess you could really take that question anywhere. Do you see any places that is a, I mean, I know they're all kind of must-win games, but any kind of hinge pin games, any trap games that you see, what is your outlook for this back half of the season coming up?
I mean, I don't know if we have any trap games. But I think the South Carolina game is important. You get that one at home. You've never beat Will Muschamp as a head coach.
Yeah.
I mean, they're coming off a big win against Georgia. That one's going to be important. There seems like they figured out something.
South Carolina has a bye week this week, if I'm not mistaken. Is that correct? Does anybody know?
Don't know for sure.
Let me check it right now.
Not sure they've had a bye yet, so that might make a little sense.
But, I mean, that,
no, they play Florida.
That one's going to be important. You've got a 2-game cushion to try and make a bowl game. One of those is against Alabama, so you really have 1 game. You have a 1-game cushion if you want to try to make a bowl. I mean, so let's go ahead and throw Alabama
out of the question.
Sure. Yeah, you got to win 4 out of 5. You got to run the table.
So you've got South Carolina,
yep,
and UAB, Kentucky, bye week, Missouri, Vanderbilt. I think the two most important games in that are South Carolina and Kentucky.
Yeah, I would say the same. I think for the South Carolina one especially, we're all fairly much expecting that UAB win or that UAB game to be a win at this point, right? I think clearly we have seen crazier things happen. But for right now, I'm going to kind of go ahead and lean towards that being a win. Because I think that obviously this team coming off a win versus Mississippi State is still different than the team that lost to Georgia State.
Right, I mean, I think they've figured some things out.
So I think that two-game win streak going into Kentucky and Missouri, well, really going into Kentucky and then the bye week, I think that is huge. Like, I think that is a great place for you to be. If you can rattle off two wins before going into Kentucky, heck, maybe even that gives you enough juice to get through Kentucky, then you're sitting there on a three-game win streak with a bye week to get ready for your most challenging game coming up left, besides Alabama. Now, I know that's a pipe dream thought, you know, of how things are going to go. But I think that, you know, if you want to be optimistic about it, I think that there is a little bit of favor for you in really kind of building up some good momentum before you do get to one of the most important games of the year in Missouri.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you're able to, starting next week, if you can get that South Carolina game at home, and like you said, Rick, I think you've got UAB. I don't think they're going to let that happen again, not twice in the same year. And then you go on the road to Kentucky, and I don't know. I mean, I don't know if the – has anybody looked at the FPI since after we've beaten Mississippi State? Have they changed our projections yet?
I'm not really sure. I'm going to pull that up now. I wouldn't think they would change too much. I mean, Mississippi State's not that great of a team. That still seems like, to me, like they're not going to give us too much credence because of that. South Carolina, I'm not sure. I think that was a little bit higher before. It's 33.6% chance now. Looking at UAB, that jumped up 85%. Kentucky's a 38% opportunity. Missouri 18.9, and Vanderbilt is an astounding 85.5 now. So those two did jump.
So,
but outside of Kentucky, I think when they're in the red, they might have dropped some. South Carolina, Kentucky, and Missouri. Missouri definitely dropped a lot. Missouri was like 40, or it was like 49 or 48 at the start of the season.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, everything changed after you lost to Georgia State.
Yeah, after you lost to Georgia State, everything, all your...
It's all been an uphill battle.
All your probabilities
dropped. The thing that kind of gets me is that...
Hey, but there's a 2.6% chance to take out Alabama this weekend, like Rick said.
Mathematically
still in it, Brandon Orick.
To me, the issue right now is, historic, as in recent historically, you have not been good at closing out seasons at all. In 2018, you closed the season 2-4. In 2017, you closed the season 1-5. And in the 2016, you closed it 3-3. So over the last 3 years, in the back half of the schedule, you're a combined 6 wins, 12 losses. So it is understandable that, you know, we're asking Tennessee to do something right now that they haven't done in a long time. Now, in 2015, they ran the tables, and they won out the final back half of the season. But we obviously know that that was a really big 8-4 season. So that was a little bit different than trying to claw back from a 1-4 or a 1-4 start. So you're asking Tennessee to do something right now that they haven't done in a long time, and they haven't really been good at in the last couple of years. So, you know, to me, I'm really stuck between a rock and a hard place, between saying, you know, hey, maybe a couple things could actually kind of go in your favor. And, you know, hey, look, you could actually start building up a row of wins here, and maybe that carries momentum into the bye week and this and that. But then on the other hand, it's like, well, Tennessee hasn't really given you a reason to believe that, you know, they're going to close out a season strong in the past couple of years. So, to me, I'm really kind of between those two options right now of, it looks favorable, but will history repeat itself?
I don't know. I think that's where you'll learn about a lot about this coaching staff, is how well they close out this season. Can you rally the troops? Can you muster out four more wins? Look at this. It just, how different would the season be right now if we had won those first two games?
Oh, and drastically different.
And you're sitting at 4-2 right now.
Yeah, you're sitting at 4-2, and you're saying,
you can coast down the finish line to get the 6 wins,
right?
You believe.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. 6 wins, I don't even think is ever a question coming out of anyone's mouth right now. Yeah, we're all way past that.
Georgia,
you know?
State hurt us. Obviously, it's something that we talked about we're going to remember for quite some time. But, yeah, that loss hurt you. I mean, that loss hurt you. BYU, even if you lose to BYU, you're still in a little bit better shape than you losing that first game to Georgia State that you're supposed to win. And BYU, yes, you should have won that as well. But, yeah, that loss hurt you. That puts you into back-against-the-wall territory to where you have to have a strong finish, not that, you know, you can slip up a game in here. No, after Alabama, like, you got to play strong for the rest of the way if you want to try to make postseason play.
Oh, absolutely. Certainly. Yeah, I mean, you win those two games, you're 4-2, and you're staring at the back half of the season basically saying to yourself, well, Alabama's probably going to do what they do, but otherwise we really just got to, you know, look to Missouri, and a lot of people probably think you'd be able to beat them at that point. But, hey, that's not where the season is right now. The reality is that you're 2-4, but you're one half of the way through the season. The first half of the season was just an insane amount of ups and downs, and now we got 6 more games coming up. I'll ask this question to you guys, and I'll let you think about it. We'll even throw a poll up maybe with the 4 answers of ours and give a write-in choice. Most valuable player of the first half for Tennessee. So think about it. We'll get all those answers for the who we think has stood out the most for obviously the best reasons. Who has been the best player on Tennessee's team this first half of this season so far? We'll think about it. You think about it. Tweet in your answers or go ahead and give us a call. We'll continue that conversation on the other side of the break. This is The Blitz, Fan Run Radio. 7 a.m. here, back on The Blitz. Asked this question a couple minutes ago. Let you think about it for a couple minutes. Six games down, 6 more to go. Who has been your MVP of the Tennessee Volunteers football team so far? Who has been the player that has stood out to you the most? Let me kind of give you maybe a couple of options you had to pick from. The leading rusher of the team, Ty Chandler. The leading receiver in yards and touchdowns is one Juwan Jennings, and also receptions. It looks like Ty Chandler also is leading the running backs in touchdowns. You have Theo Jackson, who has the most tackles, total tackles on the team. Let's see, interceptions. Nigel Warrior and Jeremy Banks have 2 apiece. Nobody has scored on the defensive side, scored a touchdown. But those are just a couple of the names you can choose from. Also, you got the 2 quarterbacks, Brian Maurer and Jared Garantano.
Tano.
Ah.
Is anybody going to pick Tano? KG?
And RIP, Jeremy Banks.
Yeah.
Yep.
Basically.
RIP.
So, who wants to start? Who's got theirs? We're also going to put this up to a poll.
I'll go first.
Okay.
I think me and Brandon are similar. We talked about during the break. But I'm bringing up 2 names, though. I'm going to say Brian Maurer, just because I don't even think you have a glimmer of hope without him. We talked about so much that changing the quarterback situation was going to help Jeremy Pruitt prolong his tenure, especially the way this started out. I think that if he sticks with JG, I think you lose the Mississippi State game, even though he came in and, you know, he played game manager while Maurer went down with the injury. I still think you lose if you start him and you stick with him the entire game. Maurer's brought a spark to this team. The wide receivers, even maybe he's even brought a spark to JG somewhat, that he's a little bit more non-complacent than he was. And maybe you see something different from him if he has to get back in still. But the wide receivers, they're walking around a little bit more of a swag. They feel like their quarterback can get them the ball. I mean, down to the tight end, Dominique Wood Anderson. You can see how they rally around Maurer, and he has the swag and confidence. I like Maurer, but a guy I talked about at the beginning of the season that I wanted to see do better, and he was going to have to be a ball hawk, and he was going to have to kind of live up to a little bit more to expectations. Nigel Warrior, although he's not been, you know, the man, but he's done a pretty damn good job. You talked about 2 interceptions by him, and he's been more of a ball hawk this year, being around the ball and kind of accepting his role. I mean, it's about time he come in, Dale Carter's kid. We had so much high hopes for him, and that's our fault as well, high hopes and expectations for a kid. But at the same time, he's kind of starting to – I wouldn't say live up to the expectations, but he's getting pretty close, and he's changed around to be a better player, I believe. He looks a lot better in coverage. He doesn't make a lot of bonehead mistakes that he once was doing. So I'd say it's toss-up for me between Maurer and Nigel Warrior, but I'd probably give it to Maurer.
Yeah, I'll go Maurer. That's I mean, you're kind of dead in the water before you make the switch. At absolutely. Quarterback, and comes in against Georgia, gives you kind of a shot in the arm, and I mean, we all know the outcome, but it gave Tennessee fans hope for Mississippi State, and yeah, he goes down and gets hurt in that game. Looks to be good to go. He's a full go in practice this week. But I mean, you win that game. You beat Mississippi State, and I think Brian Maurer's a big part of that. I mean, it's one of your 2 wins on the season, so I would say that it's a pretty big deal.
Yeah, and I would say that, you know, you make a good argument, you know, talking about the most valuable guy being the one that completely comes in and changes your season around the most. You know, that guy obviously has to have just a significant amount of value if he's going to really kind of change the outlook of the team that much, or at least, you know, what we believe it was. So a good vote for Brian Maurer. Weston, which direction are you going to go? Who's your MVP of the first half?
I'm going with Hank T. Toto.
Hank.
He's done really well. First freshman linebacker to start since A.J. Johnson. I think he helped fill in for Batuli early in the season. I think early in the season, if we didn't have him and Batuli, it could have been even worse. He has 34 total tackles, 2.5 tackles for loss. And Mississippi State was actually his lowest tackles in a game, and that's probably because he got ejected, and it'll probably hurt the first half against Alabama, but at least he'll come in with some fresh legs.
I'd rather him just not come in.
Oh, yeah, just say
that's fair.
He can stay on the sideline. No, I mean, I think that, you know, we really went with the Hank T, you know, nickname there at the beginning of the season, but I think that what you've seen from him so much of is, you know, just the ability to be. You can clearly see that he is one of the vocal leaders on the field of the defense. Right, and that's something that we even knew kind of going into the season is that, hey, he would be one of the main guys, and he did absolutely have the ability and the green light to call the plays when, you know, he was on the field. And for a guy that is a true freshman to be able to go in there and do that and still do it well, especially in the SEC, you know, you give a ton of credit to a guy like that being able to kind of bolster the middle of the defense right there.
He also has done pretty well in pass coverage for, you know, a middle linebacker. That's impressive.
Yeah, I think he's done okay in pass coverage. I think he could be a little. I think that's one of his weaknesses that I've seen a little bit. But I mean, he's a great leader out there to come in as a freshman, and I mean, really take over the defense as the leader, calling the plays, you know, putting people in position. That's one thing that I'm so amazed by, and just the sky's the limit for this guy for the next 2 years. I mean, with the expectations now and his role. This guy could be All-American defense first team, you know, by the time, maybe next year, even at that.
Well, I mean, this is what we thought J.J. Peterson was going to be.
Yeah. Yes.
He's still on a milk carton somewhere.
And that just hasn't panned out. I mean, you should have two of these guys right now, and J.J. Peterson just hasn't panned out.
I think that's more on because you see the development of Hank T and even some of the other defense guys, like we talked about defense getting better each week. Is that more on J.J. Peterson or the staff didn't develop him right? You think it was just a mess?
I think it's on – I mean, it. I don't think it's anything that the coaching staff has done wrong.
Yeah, I think it's just a miss on talent. He just didn't live up to it.
I wonder if it's a talent thing or if just there's weird things. To me, just something kind of seems off why we haven't been seeing him.
Maybe he doesn't – I mean, maybe he just doesn't have the same drive. Same inner drive as Henry Toto. I don't know. I mean, this is just pure speculation, but I mean, at some point it's got to fall on you if you don't have the want to get better.
Wasn't the rumor in the off season that he was still out of shape even this off season?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that definitely got passed around for a little bit there. I mean, J.J. Peterson obviously still a guy that, you know, you would love to have now, but obviously he's still a guy who, you know, the future could certainly be a big place for him. But we'll see. At least we got Hank, because he's been crucial this year. Guys, my honorable mention, and I really wanted to go ahead and just full send and make this my MVP, but I kind of held back a little bit.
Do it.
But
do it.
Brent Cimaglia.
Oh, my God, don't do it.
No, hold on. Is the special teams not a part of the football game? Anyway, where is the position that you have never had to worry about this year? Every single position on the entire team, except the one position that nobody thinks about because he is Mr. Automatic.
He missed against Georgia.
15 of 15, extra points.
Are you sure he didn't miss?
Field goals, he's 11 for 12. But look.
Yeah, he missed against Georgia.
He's 1 for 1, 1 to 19 yards. 2 for 2, 20 to 29 yards. 3 for 3, 30 to 39 yards. 4 of 5, 40 to 49 yards. And then he's got his one make of one attempt from over 50. I mean, when you're 15 of 15 on extra points and you're 11 out of 12 field goals, you're having an unbelievable year. And that's a part where I think, you know, out of all the things that have gone wrong for us, to have something as stable as the kicking game, and obviously these are tough kicks. He's 5 of 6 from 40-plus yards. I mean, you can give me that look all you want.
Is he giving you the look?
He's absolutely giving me the look of, I can't believe you just said that.
Kicker's been solid.
If you don't want to give credit to one of the best players on
it's
the Tennessee team.
It's the kicker,
team.
Man. The kicker.
Is that what George is saying right now? It's just a kicker.
Good point, Britt.
I think Georgia and South Carolina would love a consistent kicker right now. And I know that Georgia, you know, thought they had that before last Saturday. But if you tell me the biggest facet of the game in the Georgia-South Carolina game, you could make an argument for the kicking.
I would love for the kicking game to be our biggest problem. I would love for the kicker to be our biggest problem. I would. I would love for that to be our biggest problem. Are you telling me you wouldn't?
I mean, like,
we got a lot bigger problems.
The kicking game is important. I don't want it to be the biggest problem. It's important. It's an important facet of the game.
Like, if Joe
you're
Doyle
missing
is
the
just
point.
Shanking,
I think I know what your point.
And some, I mean, all I can at the end of the day, though, we can say though that you know our kicking game is important and it has been phenomenal this year, borderline flawless. And I think that you have to give credit for that because clearly there are teams in the country right now who.
Joe Doyle's been
who
shaky.
Who are reeling because of their kicker. Georgia is now out of the playoffs at the moment because of their kicker. Now, you're right. I probably would, you know, like that to be on the other side of the priority list. But still, you got to give credit where it's due.
Press the kicking game. These are where the breaks are made.
Okay, General Nealon.
There you go.
Give us your pick. We got to
get wrap this up. Yeah, yeah. Mine's Juwan Jennings. I think that the senior leadership is there. I think that you can see it. I think that he is consistently one of the most electric players on the field. I mean, we've seen him make every single type of catch in every single environment and every type of situation all four quarters of the game. I think he's been great. I think he has bailed out
great
both Garantano and Maurer on so many different occasions. I don't think Maurer would be any bit of a spark as he is without Juwan Jennings. I think that he is by far the most important player on this team. I think that he gives you something that nothing else, that no other player on the team can. I think Juwan Jennings absolutely been your MVP this season so far. So we got all we got those three names and a write-in vote on the Twitter account, on the poll that we put up. So you can go and check that out. Cast your vote. We'll come back and check it on the other side of the break. This is The Blitz. Back here on The Blitz, 10:52 a.m. Got a couple minutes left of the first hour. And then we'll make our way into hour number two of the show, where we will get into a much wider range of topics. Looking back at the poll we put out on the at Fox Sports Knox Twitter account, we gave our three votes plus a other category in case somebody felt differently than our three picks. Almost 200 votes cast in just a couple of minutes. 59% say Juwan Jennings, 33% say Henry T, 8% say Brian Maurer, and 1% says other. So I guess we pretty much nailed the big three, it looks like, according to, you know, about these 200. Somebody says if Brian Maurer had started all four or all six games, I think he would be the easy choice. I think probably, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean it.
Because to me, so. a lot of the great qualities behind Juwan Jennings is the ability to be consistent in the midst of such inconsistent quarterback play. You know, like I think that's one of the biggest upticks on him this year is that it didn't matter if it was Garantano or Maurer, he was still making plays, catching touchdowns. It didn't matter how good or bad the quarterbacks were, he was still going to get his touches for X amount of yards.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like that's gone up, though, since Maurer's taken over.
Yeah. You can definitely tell that Maurer is really relying on those two main guys of his.
I mean, like it to me...
Even to a fault a little bit.
It's just, it's so weird that, I mean, the offense just has so much more of a spark when Maurer is in. We said it early in the season, but now after seeing what we've seen and how they kind of called plays after Maurer went down, I mean the offense is basically handcuffed with JG in there, and it's like with Maurer, it's open, things flow. There's no flow with JG.
Yeah, you can definitely tell when the offense is getting into a rhythm, right? When you can definitely tell when two passes get completed straight, and you can tell when the offense is kind of humming a little bit, right? And that's something that, you know, a lot of what Garantano's plays look like this year has been stagnant, right? Has been a little rocky, has been chippy, or there's a better word that I'm looking for here, but you know, it just kind of seems very kind of start and stop. With Maurer, at least, I think that, you know, it kind of feels more of a consistent rhythm. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I mean, is Maurer going to make mistakes? Yes, he already has. But that's just part of it. He's going to have to learn. But he gives you the best chance to win. I think after Saturday, I think you've got a chance to win all five games. You've got at least a decent chance of winning all five games. I mean, out of the past 4 weeks, counting this Saturday, really last week was the only one that you really thought that you had a chance to win.
Yeah.
Florida, Georgia, Alabama, you knew you had no shot. After Alabama, I think you have a shot to win every single game.
I don't think that is that crazy of a thing for you to say. We'll get into that and much, much more. A lot of topics to get into. Hour number two, don't go anywhere. You're listening to The Blitz.